Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you begin to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, today during our 30-minute time together, you're going to start out with another radio seminar segment where you will begin to learn how to pick up and to put on your very first piece of God's spiritual, listen, God's financial spiritual armor. Plus, hey, listen, watch out. If you have an offer for a set of free solar panels for your home, well, the Better Business Bureau tells us that it is likely a scam. We're going to talk about it. We're going to spend another great minute with Maxwell, where Christian author and speaker and teacher trainer John Maxwell, well, he is going to share with us his thoughts on the word blame. We're going to answer another personal financial question that we receive from you, our radio family, or maybe even through the email. And finally, you are going to hear just a bit about a community event that is set to happen next week that you really need to be part of, okay? So that's where we're headed today. But first, as we always do, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is you have planned for us to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. All right then, let's get right into our Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar. And again, these radio seminar times together are designed to help you learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications. Now, for the last several times together, the last several weeks, you have discovered three important lessons from the Bible. What are they? Lesson number one, according to the Bible, you live your financial life on a spiritual battlefield. Lesson number two, you are confronted on that battlefield by a very real spiritual adversary. And lesson number three, you must learn to deal with and oppose your spiritual adversary using spiritual weapons and worldly weapons. Remember, you need both. Because worldly weapons alone, such as a budget or even tithing, listen, worldly weapons alone are never going to be enough for the Lord and you to win on the spiritual financial battlefield. So, that is what the Lord has shown us so far. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think is next? What do you think is the next step? What's next? What would be the next thing the Lord would have you do to continue to get ready to fight your spiritual financial battles? Well, the answer, according to the Bible, you need to begin to learn, apply, and to pass on the two most important biblical financial principles in all of God's Word. And you need to learn how to pick up and to put on God's financial spiritual armor. Now, this week, we're going to start with the armor and then move into the first of the two most important biblical financial principles next week. So right now, you are just about to discover the very first piece of God's financial spiritual armor as described in the book of Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul. And let's go there. Let's just start there. Let's start with chapter 6, verse 10 and see what Paul has to say to us, okay? So reading from the Bible. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, what Paul is telling us here is that you and I as Christians, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. You see, if you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then you will find yourself subject to the devil's attacks. Yes, you are, and I think you know that. Paul is reminding you that just like the Roman soldier must get properly dressed for his physical battles, so also you and I must get properly dressed for our spiritual battles, to include our spiritual financial battles. He is telling us, he's not asking, he's telling us to use every piece of God's spiritual armor to resist the devil's attacks, to include his financial attacks. Then, Paul goes on to describe each piece of God's spiritual armor, using the Roman soldier's armor as a visual example and learning tool for you and me. And the very first piece of armor that Paul points out is the belt of truth. So let's start right there, all right? What exactly is the belt of truth? Well, to the Roman soldier, his belt, the Roman soldier's belt, was the least attractive and actually the least noticeable of all of his armor. As a matter of fact, there are a whole lot of folks that wouldn't even consider his belt as part of his armor. But it was. How so? Well, it wrapped around his waist and over his shoulder and served as an anchoring point for almost all of the other pieces of his armor, as well as a place to hang pouches for food and clothing and personal items. His belt held together everything that he carried into battle. That was the belt from the Roman soldier's perspective. Now, from our perspective, what is God's belt of truth? Well, first of all, and I think you'd agree with this, it is the only weapon that we can actually pick up and hold in our hand and see today. You know, Paul calls it the Logos, which is the Bible. It is the written word of God. You see, my friend, if you want to walk through the financial areas of your life dressed in your spiritual armor, Paul is telling you that you got to start by picking up the Logos, the word of truth, the word of God, the Bible, and permanently affix it to your life. Remember, the devil fights with lies, doesn't he? And sometimes his lies, they sound like truth. But Paul tells you that the word of truth, the Bible, well, it must be the governor. It's got to be the law of the ruler. It's got to be the final say-so in all of the areas of your life, to include the financial areas of your life. You must be so close to the truth of God's word that the lies of the devil are readily apparent. Oh my goodness, now that's a good word. Let me say it again. You must be so close to the truth of God's word that the lies of the devil are readily apparent. You see, just as the soldier's loin belt held together all of his equipment, your belt of truth, the Logos, holds together all of the different pieces of your spiritual armor. The Logos, the Bible, is your foundation for life, including your financial life. That is why one of the very first things that you're going to do during our times together is to set into place two key biblical financial principles based on the Logos, the written word of God. You see, according to the Bible, winning or losing in the financial areas of your life, my friend, well, that battle is your choice. Win or lose, it's your choice. You see, if you choose not to walk daily in the power of the truth from God's word, neither are you walking in your God-given suit of spiritual financial armor. And without the word of God up and operating in your life, I got to tell you from personal experience, your financial battles are over, my friend. They're lost before you even begin. If you are going to go into spiritual combat, you had better not go without your belt of truth, because if you do, it's only going to take a small hit from the enemy and all the rest of your spiritual armor is going to come tumbling right off. So, let's stop here for this time for our radio. Let's stop, but let's back up. Let's review for just a second. Remember that when you put on your loin belt, which is, of course, the Logos, the Bible, and determined to make it a priority in your life, well, you are well on the way to winning the battles that come against your, oh my goodness, against your body, your mind, your family, your friends, your ministry, and your money. So, What is your first piece of God's spiritual armor that you're going to pick up and put on? You bet. The written word of God, the Bible. Now, next time, we're going to take a first look at the first of the two most important principles, financial principles, in all of God's Word. It's going to be a great time together, so don't miss it. Uh-oh, watch out. If you have been given an offer for some free solar panels, it's likely a scam. Listen, if you want solar panels for your house, you got to be very careful when evaluating the different installation offers that you're going to get from people that say they represent legitimate companies. You see, con artists are using misleading sales tactics and outright lies to trick homeowners out of their money and their personal information. So if you've received an offer for a free set of solar panels or maybe even free installation, check it out because it's likely a scam. And here's how that scam is likely to work. Somebody contacts you, through the email or phone or social media or even in person. And they're pretending to be a solar company salesperson. You know, this representative has a special offer. I mean, they can install solar panels on your home at a very low cost, probably even free. And this amazing deal is only available today for a limited time. You got to act right now. Now, from that point, the scam can take several different terms. In some versions, the scammer is going to be after your personal information. So he or she is going to ask you to fill out forms with all of your banking details to see if you qualify. Other times, well, the solar representative claims that you're going to need to pay some upfront costs, which they promise will be reimbursed by a non-existent government program. Now, the Better Business Bureau scam tracker has seen a whole lot of reports of this kind lately. As a matter of fact, one homeowner was approached by a door-to-door salesperson, for heaven's sakes, claiming that homeowner could get a new roof plus solar equipment, all of it installed for about 26% of the original cost. Oh, my goodness. Now, this homeowner was pretty smart. Now, he did a little bit of research. Homeowner found that while the government rebate program did exist, the salesperson was misrepresenting that government program to make a sale. All right? So, how can you avoid solar panel scams? Just like this guy that saved himself some grief, right? First of all, do some research. Do some research. Listen, genuine incentive programs and rebate solar energy contracts, they do exist. They're out there. But before you accept an unsolicited offer, do some research on the solar companies in your area. Investigate each company's reputation and business practices before you consider signing a contract for their services. That's the first thing you can do. Just do some research. Next, well, do not give in to high-pressure sales tactics. You see, con artists want to provoke an emotional reaction in you that would cause you to give in to their request without you doing a whole lot of thinking about it. Take your time and know that a legitimate company is never going to pressure you to act. If someone is using aggressive sales tactics with you, man, it is best to cut off communications right then. You know, don't answer the email. Hang up the phone. Escort them out of your house. What else can you do? Well, get some competing bids. Contact several solar installers in your area if you plan on doing some solar work on your house. Get bids from each of the companies ahead of time. So that way, if somebody is pulling a con on you, you're going to be able to see that the prices are so much lower. And remember what they say about the deal is too good to be true? It probably is. And finally, learn to ask a whole lot of questions and consider the answers. Ask questions about any and every aspect of a contract or proposal that you do not understand. And if the company gets upset about your questions, or maybe they refuse to answer your questions, or they're vague with their answers, consider it a flag. Hang up the phone, escort them to the door, do not answer the email. There are things you can do to keep yourself out of being scammed. I really love the fact that we get to share a minute with Maxwell together each week. Remember that each time that we are with this Christian author and speaker and coach during each minute with Maxwell, you are going to gain insight into a single word. And that insight can really add a great deal of value to you in every way, in every area of your walk with the Lord. Now today the word is blame. Blame. You know, like I blame my banker for the problem. I blame my job. I blame the economy. We all tend to play the blame game every now and again, right? Sure we do. So let's see what John Maxwell has to say about the word blame.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I just want to say that I greatly enjoy being with you every day, and today's word is blame. Well, I know a lot of people that just don't seem to be able to take responsibility, and so every time something goes wrong, instead of saying, I was wrong or I didn't do it correctly, they point the finger at someone else. And I can remember still as a kid, I bet your father or mother did that to you. They said, John, when you're pointing the finger at somebody else, all the other fingers are pointing back to you. And I just want you to know that one of the first signs of maturity in a person's life is when they quit looking for other people to blame for their problems and they began to look at themselves, understanding that most of the problems I have in my life are not because of others. Most of the problems I have in life are because of me. In fact, when I do leadership conferences, that many times they'll raise their hand, they'll say, John, what is your greatest challenge as a leader? And I tell them the same every time. That's very simple. My greatest challenge as a leader is leading me. Why? Because I'm hard to lead. It's much easier to tell you what to do, how to do it, where to go, when to come back, than it is for me to do it myself. And the moment that I do it myself, I find that I'm not perfect, and I find that I don't always do it right. And so what am I going to do when that happens? Well, I can either look to myself and say, John, you are the problem, and then come to you and say that, or I can look for others to play the name blame game on. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. Because here's what I know. Every time you blame someone else, you excuse yourself. And every time you excuse yourself, you lower yourself until someday you dumb down your life so much that you aren't effective. Why? Because you didn't take responsibility for your actions the first time. So don't play the blame game. I don't want you to remain the same. I want you to change. Take responsibility today. Thanks for being with us today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what a great word today from John Maxwell. And boy, oh boy, doesn't it apply to your prayerful journey down your road to financial freedom God's way, doesn't it? I mean, taking responsibilities, well, that can be tough. I mean, no one wants to admit that they mess up or when they're wrong. It goes against all of our natural instincts. However, you got to know that when you start pointing fingers and play the blame game, you got to remember that there are several of those fingers that are pointing right back at you. So I got to believe that John is suggesting that we learn to take responsibility early on the first time so that you can learn from your mistakes and grow, becoming that much more effective as a person, maybe as a husband or a wife, even as a financial manager. Blame. Oh my goodness. Another great word study from John Maxwell. Okay, let's see. How are we doing on time? Well, oh, this looks good. It looks like we have a time for at least one Q&A. And remember, that's where we respond on air to questions that folks out on the airway send us, or maybe through email, or maybe even through our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Here's the question for this time. I teach a class on finances in my local church, and one of my class members brought me a question that I'm not sure how to answer. Bob, can you tell me where in the Bible it says, neither a borrower nor a lender be? The most important part of my question is, should a Christian borrow? Oh my goodness, what a great question. We actually get this question, one like it, quite often. Where does that quote come from? Benjamin Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac. It is not from God's word at all. It is what is called religious folklore. It is a statement that sounds biblical, but it is simply not going to be found in the Bible. Now, for your real question, should a Christian borrow? Very simply, the Bible does not prohibit borrowing. No, it does not. However, borrowing is always highly discouraged. In fact, if you check, you're going to find that every biblical reference about borrowing is negative. For example, Proverbs 22:7 tells us that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Plus, you have to know that the scriptural guideline for borrowing is very clear. When you borrow money, you're making a vow. You're making a promise to repay. Moreover, we know that God requires us to keep our vows, right? Recall that Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrows and does not repay." Therefore, if we do not want to be counted among the wicked, we are to repay everyone we owe. Now, a great side note here, John, is that in biblical times, when a man borrowed money and he couldn't repay it, he was thrown into prison. And his family was sold into slavery. You see, back then, when somebody gave his word and didn't keep it, that person brought dishonor to himself and disaster to his family. Not repaying was worse than stealing because it violated a trust. Now, just because we normally don't throw people into prison for not repaying what they owe nowadays does not make the trust relationship any different today than back in Bible times. It really doesn't. Scripture shows us that we are to be very cautious about borrowing, and borrowing should never be the normal part of our life. Yet when you look at our society today, you're going to find that borrowing is rampant. So you see, we think it's normal to borrow for periods of 30 to 40, maybe even longer, 40, 50 years or longer. We have created a personal and a national economy that borrows money to exist. And I got to tell you, according to God's word, that is not God's best for his people. Now, that was a pretty tough, but that was a good question. And a lot of people have that question. I hope that was to be some degree of help for you. Now, looking at the clock, I think we have time for one more question. So I'd like to, here's another borrowing question that we get quite often. I think you might find interesting. I'm from a school of thought that says that we are to use other people's money, OPM. In other words, it's okay to borrow to do whatever you want to do. And I have to tell you, Bob, it is a hard mentality to shake, even though I now understand that that concept is contrary to God's word. However, I was recently at a meeting at church when some fundraisers recommended that people in the congregation borrow to give to the church building program. Now, that sounds to me a whole lot more reasonable than the church itself borrowing to build. But what do you think? What does the Bible say? Oh my goodness, that is another tough question. And I tell you what, I went back and I did some research because I know that Larry Burkett answered that same question a whole number of years back. And his answer, my friends, his answer is as good today as it was back then. Here's what Larry Burkett wrote to a very similar question. Larry said, "If you knowingly violate biblical principles, it is wrong, no matter how noble the purpose. I do not believe God would direct anyone to violate his word to accomplish his work. The principle of surety says that we are not to borrow money against any unknown contingency. The idea of using other people's money has been greatly overplayed in our society today, particularly within the church. I believe that God has provided all of us as Christians all of the money that we need to do anything that we want so long as we're committed to doing it. Borrowing should never play a part in giving. We should always give what belongs to us, not what belongs to someone else." Wow. Now that is a good answer from years gone by that is absolutely applicable to today. Larry, I want to thank you again. I agree. John, I agree. Do not borrow money to give to your church. Now, as you know, one of the things that you're going to find as you listen to this program, well, you are going to find that you're going to learn a little bit about some upcoming community activities. And boy, do I have a good one for you today. As a matter of fact, if you read the North Georgia News or the Towns County Herald last Wednesday, you saw a short article titled, Taking Seriously the Call to Pray. Let me read to you what that article said, all right? The Chouteau Community Prayer Force is a young and growing non-denominational grassroots community that regularly prays first and foremost for every segment of our Hiawassee, Young Harrison, Hayesville communities, then for our two states, our nation, and for the peace of Jerusalem. The prayer force is open to all who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to pray for God to pour out His blessings on our Lake Chouteau communities. Team members currently meet to pray the first Tuesday of each month from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. at the Chouteau Ministry and Events Center, previously the Mountain Home Music Hall, at 2532 Highway 76 in Hiawassee. Then individual team members pray throughout the month for specific community prayer partners, such as our local businesses and service organizations, churches, government offices and officials, first responders, schools, and a whole lot of others. In light of all of the issues that impact our local community today, the Chouteau Community Prayer Force is an excellent and encouraging way to help our community come together as one, exercise our responsibility to keep informed, and seek God's intervention and guidance. Now, the next team meeting is going to be set for Tuesday, October 4th. That's this coming week. And if you would like to come and pray, or if you'd like to become a community prayer partner and be prayed for, or if you have any questions, please contact me. Oh, my goodness. Please contact me, Bob Louder, 678-386-2640, or you can email me at b.louder@good-steward.org. That's B as in boy, period, L-O-U-D-E-R, at good, G-O-O-D, hyphen, steward, S-T-E-W-A-R-D, dot O-R-G. You can also Google Chouteau Community Prayer Force. Now, that's a good word, and I'm hopeful that you're going to be there when we pray this coming Tuesday. Wow, was that a quick 30 minutes together or what? I'm praying that you were blessed by what the Lord gave you today. Remember that we started out by taking a look at the very first piece of God's spiritual armor that He wants you to pick up and put on before you even think about heading out to fight any spiritual battle, to include any of your financial battles. What was that very first piece of spiritual armor? The belt of truth, the written word of God. It is your Bible. Then the Better Business Bureau gave us a heads up on the free solar panel scam that's going around. John Maxwell talked to us a minute about the word blame. We responded to a great listener question. And finally, well, again, if you would like to come and pray with the Chouteau Community Prayer Force this coming Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., or you would like us to pray for you, either case, give us a call, 678-386-2640, 678-386-2640. My friend, remember that our times together are really His times with you, not my times with you, but His time with you. My prayer is that somewhere along the line today that He and you connected with something that He and you can use to help make your life in Christ better than it's ever been. Now, in closing, I want you to remember that you can also go back to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org to either re-listen to this program or you can get a transcript of it. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. And finally, well, now I would like to close as we open, and that is with the word of God. Father, thank You for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. To Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time for Your Financial Freedom God's Way Radio.